I want to take a moment to talk about why do we celebrate the Lord's table? Why do we celebrate communion? My dad passed away in 2003. I had mixed feelings. My dad, my relationship with my dad was convoluted. He gave me his Ford Ranger truck, a little two-wheel truck, nothing much. Drove it home, parked it in my parking space at my house. A week later, I went in my dad's truck and I opened up an ashtray, just pulled it open to see what was inside, and in the ashtray was three cigar butts. And in that moment, when I pulled open that ashtray, a flood of memories came over me. My dad, one of my most, you can say good or bad memories of my dad, was him standing outside in the back patio smoking a cigar. And when I pulled that ashtray open, this swirl of emotions enveloped me. The longing that I had as a boy to connect with my father that never seemed to happen. And a lot of the good things, the times that my dad cared for me and provided for me, all those kind of things in that one single stroke of opening that ashtray just overwhelmed me. When I think of communion, I think of the ashtray. When I hold that cup, when I hold that bread, all of you have memorabilia in your home, don't you? You have a photograph, a photo album. You have something that reminds you of a person that you loved or just even the kids in your home. We have those things as it's tangible expressions to help us evoke in us feelings and emotions about events in our lives. And the same is true for communion for me this morning. When I hold that cup, when I hold that bread, it's like a photograph, a page past in time that I bring to my present moment. And I allow myself to feel what Jesus must have felt like, what Jesus must have suffered, what Jesus must have endured. That's the point of communion this morning. Communion for me is a picture. It's like a piece of memorabilia. And for me, it evokes in me, it stirs a hope that I'm meant to enjoy, a hope that I have been meant to enjoy. And that hope is this: I live, and I hope you connect with this morning, that we live right now in this time and place in history between the two appearings of Jesus. The time when he first appeared, when he was born as a baby, as fully God, as fully human, lived his life, suffered death and his resurrection, and his second appearing, when he'll come as king and glory to judge the righteous. Philippians 6, to me, is one of my favorite portraits of Jesus. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6. It's in your bulletin, too. Though he was God, and he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. You and I live between his first appearing, this humble servant who is fully God, who limits his godness by taking on human flesh, pours himself out as an offering for your sin and for mine. And it stirs in me hope that Jesus has come to give me life, life abundantly. And not only that, the cherry on top is I get to live with him forever because of what he's done for me. And that ought to stir in you this morning as we take from the cup and the bread hope. Hope. The second emotion that is evoked in me as I drink from the cup and eat from the bread this morning is remembrance of the price paid for my freedom. There's a story of an old rector, served in a church for 35 years, and a new pastor came in, young guy came in to replace him. About 2 weeks on the job, the new pastor who replaced the old guy realized he was doing something wrong. So he went to one of the key laypersons and said, "What's going on? It seems like people are, you know, don't like me and whatever." And he said, "Well, it's not necessarily what you're doing wrong, it's what you're not doing." He said, "When you serve from the chalice, from the cup, you never touch the radiator before you do that." And he's thinking, okay. So he decided to call the old pastor. He said, "I've been in here for about a month. It seems I'm doing something wrong before I serve communion. I'm not touching a radiator. What is that all about?" And so the old pastor said, "Well, you know, when I started at the church, when I served communion, I decided that I'd go over to the radiator and touch the radiator before I served communion so that when I served from the chalice, the people receiving it didn't get shocked. It eliminated some of the static electricity that I kind of was gathering when I would walk around." And that church became known as, ironically, the Church of the Holy Radiator. May that not be true of us. That communion becomes just simply something we tack into a service. Jesus' words to his disciples were this: "Do this," what? "In remembrance of me." For a first century Jew, remembering was huge. In fact, Jesus, in the beginning of verse 14, what does he reference? What is the context from which the communion meal is served? The Passover meal, right? Passover meal was a meal that every Jewish family celebrated together, which recounted and memorialized God's saving activity when he freed the Israelites from their slavery in Egypt. Jesus now would become the one sacrifice for all time, freeing you and me from the penalty that we deserved, from our sin, so that you and I might be free. And Jesus says, "Do this in remembrance of me," to bring to your present moment, to reach back to the moment Jesus died for you, to reach back to that moment when you were saved, when you realized that it was Jesus and what he had done for you, the price that was paid for you, and you admitted your sin and believed that he died for it, to go back to those past moments and bring them to your present memory. Like when I reached and opened up my dad's ashtray and those emotions flooded over me, to allow yourself to feel those. Steve's been talking about renewing our mind, that we need to disconnect from technology, and what better way to do that through stopping what we're doing, unplugging our lives, recalling what Jesus has done for you, placing it in your present memory, and honoring him through prayer, through self-evaluation and examination, and so that God is glorified in our eating and our drinking together. We're going to do that through six to seven minutes of silent reflection. And as we do that, we're going to have some PowerPoint slides to guide you through that process. And what I want us to do as a church is stop, unplug, be quiet, to examine ourselves, to focus our time in prayer, and to really recount again God's saving activity, that he saved you from your sin, that you have assurance of your salvation because of what he's done for you, and that you have hope for today and forever, that we get to share it with Jesus in eternity.